In today's podcast, we're talking to micro business owners, and that probably is going to be you. But nevertheless, we're talking to micro business owners, and we're talking about what are some of the things that you need to do to really enhance your business or get your business to grow. We have a couple of things on the list, and I hope that you join me in the podcast. If you are a female entrepreneur who is serious about starting, growing, or scaling your business, but you are really finding it challenging to make the money that you want to make, or you're finding that the resources, maybe even the technology, and even some of the gurus are really just more expensive and cost more than you really want to spend right now. But you know that if you had the resources that you needed, you can really thrive in your business. If that's for you, then this podcast is for you. My name is Dr. T, and I am proud to be one of the co-founders of CCOClub.com and CCO Club Podcast, where we are building a space and a community to be able to serve you. But get this, we are much, much more than just a community. Our goal is to create an ecosystem where we have our own engagement, we create our own technology platforms, we are creating our own shared spaces, some TV channels, and even much, much more. And we want to be able to do that with the very women who want to connect with us, because what we know is that we can always be stronger together. So if that's you, make sure you hang out to learn much more about what we have going on, and we will see you on the inside. Hey there, this is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode of CCO Podcast, where we are talking to women business owners about what it really takes to grow your business, start your business, run your business, scale your business, everything that has to relate with business. And we talk a little bit about faith. We talk a little bit about focus. So we're just getting into this thing. And really, we just want to be able to support as many women as we can to help them change their part of the world. Because I believe if we do that, we really are doing it to the glory and honor of God. So make sure you go to CCOClub.com to find out the latest that we have on what it is we're doing. And again, today, said I'm talking to micro business owners. Small business owners, really, we're talking to you as well. But really, I think many of us really fall into this micro business owner or micro enterprise realm and don't actually know it. And I think we're calling ourselves small business, but really be micro business. We're going to keep it 100 here today. And so we're talking about what are some of the things that we can do to really grow and enhance our business. And I have one solution with a lot of suggestions. And you've probably heard me say it before, but you know what? It's like sometimes reading the Bible. You got to read it over and over and over again for the rest of your life to really start doing the things that you need to do according to God. So we are talking about this thing with how do you grow your business. So I want to read something. I want to read this information I looked up, and I wanted to read it because it's talking about micro businesses. And it says a micro business, also known as a micro enterprise, is a business operating by less than 10 people and generates less than $250,000 a year in revenue. Okay. So do you have less than 10 people? And most of the time, especially if we're just getting started out, and even if we're growing quite a bit, right, you can be in the several million dollar range and still be still not have 10 employees or 10 people working with you, or even 10 people contracting with you, right? But it's also that less than $250,000 a year, right? And what it's also saying is micro businesses or micro enterprises often start as a hobby or a side hustle, or require little startup capital and low operating costs. Oftentimes what that also equates to is doing things online, because you don't have the expenses of what it takes to have a brick and mortar. You don't have the building expenses. You don't have the light, the heating, the gas. You don't have employees. You don't have a lot of that stuff. So doing that online often helps. And it says this includes freelancers, or you're a freelancer. Are you an independent contractor? Are you a startup business? Most of us are. Are you an e-commerce business, even if you're just starting? Are you do street vending? Are you local, small, or independent retailer, accountant, web designers? Those are some examples. Coaches and consultants, right? These are examples of of folks that really we really tend to always start as a micro business unless you like, you know, you get some sort of loan. And speaking of that, I'm going to talk about that in a second. So most of us start out this way, and most of us can be in this particular round for quite some time. And it's not necessarily that you might not, you may make more than that, right? So you may make $500,000, but if you're paying out $400,000, you're making $100,000. Like, we're talking about net, right? I'm talking about what's left over. And sometimes we get misled. We're like, I'm bringing in a lot, but I'm also spending a lot, right? And so what are some of the ways that we can keep that? It really begins to be the question. It says, also, startup costs, according to United States Small Business Administrator, so the USSBA, most micro businesses cost around $3,000 to start. I want you to think about that, because there's a lot of us that really may be well under that. And there may be some of us who've tried to do things over and over and over again. And you might have spent, maybe especially if you've changed your ideas several times, right? You may have spent way more than that. And it says, many micro businesses cost less than $50,000 to establish, and typically much less. They're generally less than $35,000 in loan capital as startups, and do not have access to the conventional commercial banking sector, which means we really can't get loans. So when people are talking about loans, oftentimes we just can't walk into a bank and get them, because oftentimes banks want you to have, you know, 3 years of this and, you know, tax returns. Like, but I'm just starting, which is why we don't tend to go there, especially if you're starting out. And sometimes it really feels like, you know, the world is against you when you're just getting started out, because you can't get the help that you want. And so while that is in fact a lot of the challenges that we have, it's still not impossible. The last thing that I want to read is, it says, for operation, micro business can operate as a home-based business or have a storefront or commercial office. I don't recommend that. Again, it depends on what you're having. Maybe if you get a shared space, that's a little hint to where I'm going to. And micro businesses operate online, often as part of the time endeavor or a side hustle, as I said before. So it was just me wanting to look up and be clear about who I'm talking to and who we are, right? Micro businesses. And maybe you have made more than $250,000, but I'm talking about annual revenue. And I want us to make it over and over and over and over and over again, and then be able to figure out, well, how do I get to a point where I can double that and then double that again? Because if you double it 250, you get to 500, and you double that again, you're already at a million. And actually, that's not hard. Oftentimes that is required with doing things that you can scale with, right? And so just taking what you're already doing and tweaking it, making it a little bit more automated, then maybe running some ads to it, things like that. But that's another conversation for another day. To me, for those of us who are micro business owners, one of the most impactful things you could do is partner with someone else. I've told you guys about that as I decided to collapse a lot of the things I was doing and put them underneath CCO Club, because it only made sense to me, because I was working hard with all the different parts of it, you know, the email marketing, building the website, writing the courses, you know, designing the courses, delivering the courses, recording the courses, editing the courses, putting them up on the website, doing the podcast, creating the podcast, editing the podcast, doing all those types of things, then doing the social media. So like, those are just some of the big ticket things that just dropped off the top of my head. Like, so when you're thinking about all that you have to do, oftentimes you end up doing a lot less customer facing, because you have a lot more behind the scenes stuff that you have to do. And that might bless somebody right there. Is like, you can see that you are like, man, all this stuff that I have to do just before I can get ready to say, I want to do this webinar, I want to do this live event, or I want to write this book. There's so many things backwards you have to take. My girl and I used to joke about it. In every step you want to take forward, you got to take five steps back just to take that step forward, because there's so many things that we have to have in place in order to be successful in the way that we want to be successful with our small business. And so again, it is partnering, I think, is very helpful, especially if you are doing it, you know, by yourself, because we tend to have limited resources. You can struggle to scale, to get it really going the way you want to. It's definitely a lonely business, right? And the thing is that partnering is just something that you can, it's not just about like having the right thing, but it can be really, really essential to helping you get where it is you want to go, right? And so partnerships, I think, can really, really, really help you. And so some of the ways that they can help you is shared resources. Like, that's the biggest thing for me that has helped me. I happen to connect with some ladies that have a lot of tech, a lot of the tech that I needed, some of the stuff I didn't even know I needed or wanted. And because we understand the tech side, they've obviously understood it a lot more than I have. And it has tremendously impacted my understanding of what it takes. And so what it is I'm learning how to work. What my pastor says, instead of working harder, work higher. That might set somebody free right there. Because when you're working higher, you're using wisdom, right? When we're thinking about, you know, the King Solomon, and he was talking about, I think it was in Ecclesiastes, he was talking about, well, I'm gonna paraphrase it, but you know, it's sharpen the axe. Right. Because if you sharpen the axe, it's good. You're going to be better off by doing if you take the time to sharpen the axe. You're going to cut down the tree faster than if you would just trying to chop down a tree with a dull axe. What am I saying? If you're doing business the way that you're doing it, it might be taking you longer than if you just stop and get smart about it, use some wisdom and say, you know what? I need to partner with somebody that could do this, sharpen my axe. I need to get with somebody who could do that, sharpen my axe. Because if I do that and worry about what I do well, we will get together farther, faster than if I just do this by myself. And that's why I am a firm believer. That's one of the reasons why I'm a firm believer in partnering with people. You find people that love to do what you hate, or can do what you can do better, right? So there's a lot of us that, for example, I'll use Canva as an example. Everybody should have Canva, and you should have the paid version. I said it, deal with it. But you should have, like, for example, on Canva, it's like most of the time Canva makes us look like a rock star, right? But there are, and many of us can do things that are very good. Now, here's one of the challenges. For some of us, it still takes us too long, right? Whereas others, they can get something done very good, very fast. So why am I spending my time doing something that's going to take me twice as long than if I was to get someone else to help me with that? You have to really think about your time. You have to equate your time to money, right? And you have to understand that that's really what it's about. And oftentimes we lose sight of that. So for example, let's just use an easy number of $50 an hour. Let's say you probably worked a lot more than that, but let's just say $50 an hour. You are worth $50 an hour, and it takes you 2 hours to do something on Canva, a flyer, 2 hours to put all the stank on it, to get it the way you want to do. But you can find somebody on Fiverr or Upwork that can do the whole thing for $25. You have just wasted time and $75. You've just wasted it because your value is much higher than the time you are spending. And so sometimes we think, oh, I'm losing money because I'm spending money. You're actually making money. That might set somebody free right there. You're actually setting yourself up by sharpening an iron to do something better with that 2 hours than someone could have done in 30 minutes. That's what we have to begin to think about. So even if you are finding a group of folks on Fiverr by itself, right, that really can do some things that they could do it top notch. You go to the same people all the time. You finally found your folks. You go to them. That's what I liked and used to do. I used to go to the same folks all over and over and over when I wanted something done, and they did top notch work. They already knew what I wanted. They already had my brand colors. They already had that. I would just like create this. Here's an example, put the stank on it and make it good, right? Because I was going to fare way better doing something like that than it was for me to spend my time on it. That's just a small example. Some people have better tools. Some people like doing other things. So another example, I think I've said, you guys, I don't like doing social media. I am finally admitting out loud, I do not like to do social media. Maybe I've admitted it out loud before, but I'm admitting it again. I don't like doing it. And I don't like doing it because the algorithm keeps changing. I don't like doing it because to me, it's a colossal waste of time, because I would rather spend my money, pay for ads, pay for traffic, than I would to be trying to do it organically in today's day and age. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm saying in today's day and age, there's too much to fight against, and I would just rather pay for it because I'm going to get farther faster starting off spending my money to get traffic than it is that I'm going to use it to do organic. Now, what if I partner with somebody who loves to do that? Now, do I need to still have a social media presence? Yes, I do. So what I did was I set up some things to go to social media. I don't check it. I just set it up to go there. Okay, yes, go to this page, go over there, go to that, do this. And that's all I want to do. I don't want to do anything else because I don't like it. Now, when I get to a particular place, yes, I want to partner with, actually we've done it in CCO because one of the partners loves to do social media. But can I get with somebody who loves to do that? That's what they're doing. And then maybe it's a partnership. Maybe I say, work with me to help me to grow. I can give you a testimonial. I can put you on all of my stuff. Like, we have got to get smarter about how we can partner with people or partner or barter with folks to help us get along so that we can grow our business where it is that we need to grow. It is also going to help with expanding your reach and your visibility. If I have one person in my tribe and you have one person in your tribe and we connect, we still got two people, right? We still can do more together than we can apart. I can get into front of your group. You can get in front of my group. We're talking about what each other are doing. Like, that is what's going to help us to grow. There are so many organizations out here that are understanding the power of collaboration. They're putting people in groups. They're putting people in pods. They're putting people in co-working spaces so that together we can do some things much more powerfully than we can do apart. And so that's why I'm really passionate about, you know, this understanding, because I just think it's a lot more challenging nowadays to be able to grow your micro business. We have to put our money together. If I have $250 and you have $250 and I have another girl who got $250 and you have another one, we have $1,000 together as opposed to $250 separate. And so why can't we come together and do some work together? We can record one thing, as an example, put it out to all four of our things, and we can have something that all of us can win by. That's how we have to begin to think. It is not, I don't think we're in a time in our world today where doing things by yourself is going, unless you have the money to do it, but doing things by yourself is going to outperform doing something with a partner. And, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, in yesteryears, you know, talked about, you know, you got to have the right partner, you have to do the right things, and you still have to today, because what you have to know is, one, what do you bring to the table? Right? What is it that you bring to the table that's excellent? Now, I'm saying excellent because I promise you, if you come talking to a sister and you're trying to do something with me as a partner and what you do is not excellent, we're not going to work together. And I'm telling you because I know who I am, because I demand a lot out of myself. Right. And I know who I can lean on. I want to be able to say, I've asked this person to do this and I don't even have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it not being on time. I don't have to worry that they didn't do their part. I don't have to worry that they dropped a ball. I don't have to worry that something was forgotten because I'm not going to forget. Right. So you have to know what you bring to the table. You have to know the type of personalities you want to work with. Right. You want to have things in writing. Right. And I'm not going to use no big old long contract. I'm just not going to do it because I don't want to. I want to do something that's simple that we have an understanding about that we can come back to the table later. You know, maybe we'll say, let's give it a run of 3 months, 6 months, and then come back and see how it's working for each other. That to me makes a lot of sense because it gives us enough time to see if this is what we all want, because people change, life change, family structure, business structure, they all change. And we want to make sure that as we are going, we are still, you know, moving forward in the same direction. This is why it's good to get in groups, collaborate, see what people are talking about, see who's doing what, you know, and again, find out that level that you want to work with and that works for you so that you can do some things that are partnering. Check them out. Check out their websites. Check out some of the things that they put together. Talk to them. Get on Zoom. Get on Google Meets and do something together and have continuous conversations. Because I'm going to tell you what, sometimes it's either going to take, in my opinion, it takes two things to be able to find out if it's a good partner. One, time. And two, trouble. That might set somebody free right there. Because it's easy when we all excited. It's hard when we in trouble. So one is time, and the two is trouble. And it might even take a combination of both of those, right? Because there are some folks that I know that I have known forever and ever and ever, and I'd be easy to go into partnership with. Other ones, I'm like, mm-mm, I can't even do it. I'm not even going to put myself in that because I know how I am and I know how you are. And that doesn't mean I'm good and you're bad or vice versa. It just means that I know how I work when I get in business and I need somebody that's going to work with me. So again, that's just me being honest with myself and knowing what it is that I want to do. Right? So making sure that you're doing that. You also have the opportunity. Another value in partnering is it's the support and accountability, right? It's the networking. It's the collective feedback that you, let's talk about it. Because oftentimes I found that the idea in my head was great. But when I told it to somebody, I saw the holes because, again, when iron sharpens iron and you get with the right people that can tell you that are thinking at the level that you think at, they can help you see your blind spots. And that's really, you want to get with people that you trust enough that you actually want to vet your ideas through them because they're good at seeing your blind spots. That's why I do really well with strategy is because I look for blind spots and I'm thinking about from a different angle. And I'm so appreciative that people trust me with that. Like, look at this, Dr. T, and see what you think about this, because they know that I think from a different area and I'm looking for blind spots. And I love strategy. I love looking at things from different angles. And so that's something that is absolutely wonderful to be able to have. The last point I want to make is you can have different types of partnerships. You can have local partnerships. You can have partnerships that where it's just like you're co-hosting events. You're doing things like that. Maybe you're sharing a space. Maybe you're doing a joint promotion. Let's say you want to do a live event with, let's say, fitness. And you find some other people that want to do live events for fitness and some other people. Do that doggone thing together because we can lessen the cost, right, for what it is that we want to do. And then you just find out, was it worth it? Was it not worth it? Do we do it again? Do we not do it again? Let's just keep it pushing. Sometimes people are so afraid to lose money. They're so afraid to doing the wrong thing that you end up doing nothing. And I'm telling you, I just believe that even when things don't go the way that we expected or the way that we anticipated, we're going to learn something from it. I'm going to be better for it because I just like to look at things from that perspective. I might rant and rave. I might be irritated, but I promise you I'm learning something from it. And that to me is one of the beauties of partnering, right? You want to get into online communities. I've said that before. You can do it with industry specific networks, right? So maybe it's through like a chamber of commerce, or maybe it's, you know, doing the same business goals. You have the same business goals, like the accountability thing that I've done. That thing is so powerful because of how we are supporting one another. You can do things like that, right? Cross promotional things I've said. So I just really want you to be hearing what I'm saying, because these are the things that really can help you to get where you need to go, right? So I want to end with some of the things that I think are going to be important for you to do as practical tips of getting started. You want to identify your needs. You want to identify your areas that you're good in. You want to identify the gaps, and you want to listen to people who are doing something where you're not. Even if it's something that it's like, okay, I just need to get some people to hire to do these little parts for me because they come up enough where that might be what I want to do. Or you could just say, I want to get a partner that does this well and I do this well, or we want to barter some services, right? Or some goods. So that's something that's good. Do your research. You are going to cut off your nose or spite your face if you don't get out there and do some research to find out the things that you want to know about the people you are trying to partner with. I want you to think about it from a win-win perspective. You have to be mature, in my opinion, in business. If you are at a point where you're looking at how can you win and how can I win? How can I serve you and how can I get something in return from that service? And not to say that I'm doing it because I'm serving you, but I'm excited about helping you because I know you're excited about helping me, right? And so I want you to be able to do that. And finally, I want you to think of starting small and building. Don't try to go out there and partner with the top, because the top want to partner with only the top, generally speaking, right? So get someone, start small, start low. It maybe you're ahead of them in one area, but they're well ahead of you in another. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you might be the one that wants to be in the front, and sometimes you are the mastermind in the back, and that's where you love to be, and that's okay. So I want you to make sure that you're thinking about and listening to what it was that I've said today so that you can get with the right person, do the right things, connect with who you need to connect with to grow your micro business. We can get out of micro business or micro enterprise, get into that small business, because that takes us to around about 30 million. And I think we can hang out there for a long time, right? So again, I pray that there was something I said in this podcast that was a blessing to your soul. I pray that you are enlightened enough to be able to open your mind to the possibilities of partnering or getting into networks or groups like CCO Club, because we want to be able to help as many people as possible do what it is that they feel they need to do, or even just have these healthy conversations on a larger scale, so that at the end of the day, we can grow our individual businesses, impact more people, and positively change the world. That's what I have for you today, and I hope to see you on the next episode.
Hey there, before you take off, we would really appreciate it if you clicked on that follow button, even download this episode, share it if it was something that you know would be meaningful for another friend, because that is really what's going to help this podcast grow so that we can continue to give you fantastic content. Thanks so much, and we appreciate you following.